Anyway, I had to go to County Lockup, 30 days, and I got out. And my friends, like any good military friend should do, said, "You want to like pay rent or get food? No, let's throw a party and invite whores and have a gangbang."
Hey, welcome back to Four for the Road, everybody. I'm your host, Punk Rock. I'm here with my brother, Testicles. We got Garage Beer Dave with us and our special guest. We got Jaden, Braden, Aiden, Hayden, Caden. The dragon from the T-Bar crew. How you doing today, man?
I'm good, man. Thank you guys for having me. First of all, it's an honor to be here. I'll be on with you dudes.
That's enough of this. That's enough of this introduction bullshit. I want to hear the story. I want to hear the story.
So before, just to give a little backstory on it, right? So before we started recording, Senior Dragon was telling us about what he was doing just before he came over to Jace's studio from the Fast Life to record the show with us. So why don't you go ahead? Let's not pick up where you left off. Let's just start from the beginning. So everybody,
I shot David text with the map screenshot. Hey, about to leave my place. Heading, you know, here's the distance from Jace to Jace's shop. Well, from there where I was, there's a chick there that's for whatever reason kind of likes me, and it just turned into a right before we left, like, hey, how about, you know, how that goes. And
no, actually, I have no idea how that goes.
It was basically a quickie. I pushed off sex earlier. I was like, ah, I want to be all there. We'll do this later. And no, I gave in, guys. I got overruled. But anyways, that's happening. There's no romance in this at all. It starts being over the couch, prison style. And
like, who is bent over the couch? You or her?
Her. Oh yeah, and I guess to preface it, I homework. I put on one of the episodes, and I was trying to catch up. And so, just again, not because of the podcast, despite it, somehow we still started having sex. And subconsciously, I just had to get away from Dave's voice, so we moved into the bedroom.
Why?
Then, again, it's still very much prison style, no romance. I'm in there, and at one point, I ended up yelling, "Shut the fuck up, Dave!" And I'm not taking my shoes off for this, just to set the tone. Pants are still on, so I had to do the waddle back out to the island, turn the podcast off, waddle back in there, and then finish.
I think
like a champion.
In the first 3.5 minutes, we just named this episode.
So guys, we started
the fuck up, David.
Yeah, we started this podcast about an hour ago, and y'all weren't even there. Y'all didn't even know it. It was, I think it was "Are We Nerds?" is the episode I was listening to.
Yes.
Like, yes, y'all are nerds. Shut the fuck up, Dave.
Yeah, that's the name of this episode. Shut the fuck up, Dave.
I'm trying to nut. I think that's what we're gonna name it, actually.
Chicks, man, what are you gonna do?
Well, you know, shout out to that lady. I mean, I don't think we've ever had a girl willing to fuck to a Four for the Road podcast before, so shout out to her.
Yeah, dude, I don't think it was again because of the podcast. I think it was despite
that's
it.
Not what I heard.
That's not what I heard.
Did you put the podcast on? She wanted even more to overrule.
There you go. Yourself. Yeah, it couldn't stop. It was like a river down there.
Yeah, dude.
So I want to know, and everybody that all 10 people that listen to this want to know, did she call you Dragon or Jaden?
No, but there was she doesn't Daddy. Really buy into the nickname. I mean, she knows it's a nickname. It is what it's not a persona or anything.
It's a persona.
At one point, there was a Dragon joke or a comment, something about it. Maybe I told her something about getting a property of Dragon tattoo. She's getting branded soon enough. She keeps up little episodes like earlier. She's getting branded sooner than later.
Fuck yeah, dude. Dragon gave her the D, bro. I love it.
Dragon's Garage on there, you know?
Yeah, right there on the FUPA area.
Fuck yeah. As long as we're telling stories, let's tell them, that, you know, for those that don't know, how did you get the nickname Dragon? Because your name's Jaden, but how did you get the nickname Dragon?
So it started Sturgis 2020. It was our first day there. Jace, Big Wheel Cody B, and Franz, they had wives driving up. So they had all their camping shit in the wives' car. I had all my stuff on me on the bike. Excuse me. So we're setting up tent at Days End, setting up camp. I'm putting my tent together. They're kind of sitting on a picnic table hanging out. And this old, just the epitome of hell yeah, brother. White, long hair about down the middle of his back. he might have been shirtless. He might have been shirtless wearing just a vest. And he comes over and, hey, guys, looks like we're staying next to each other this week. I'm Lone Wolf. And, you know, he's going through Cody. Hey, I'm Cody. Hey, I'm Jace. I'm James. Well, as he's doing it, the only thing running through my mind is that scene in Step Brothers where he has to call me. So he gets over to me and I, you know, stop, put my temp hole down, reach up, shake his hand kind of firm, looking dead in the fucking eye. Call me Dragon. And no bullshit. He kind of pulls me in a little bit closer.
Fantastic.
Pulls me in a little bit closer like I'm bullshitting him. And I go, Dragon. And I give a nod and his face kind of lit up. He goes, Dragon, I'm Lone Wolf. Nice to fucking meet you. And pats me on the shoulder with the other hand. And I spin back around to start keep putting my tin up. And I look at, as I do it, I catch a look at the guys and they're all about to lose their shit. So Lone Wolf walks off. And that's, it's supposed to be kind of joke of the day after, you know, hey, we're all going by biker nicknames for this Sturgis trip. You know, Jace's Bonesaw, and we got to figure out something for the rest of you guys. But it just the way jokes go with a group of friends. One thing, you know, I got drunk that night, turned to let's get a dragon tattoo. Oh, no. Before that, we go into Main Street to go see our buddy Wes, who's downtown tattooing. And the first fucking thing we see as we walk in is this flash sheet with this dumbass Dragon, Sturgis.
No.
Yeah. So I see it before I can even say anything. Jace and Kyle, and I think Jones is with us, and they're like, oh, you gotta get it. So I put it off that night, and it ended up, I was, you know, probably gonna quietly sneak out of Sturgis without getting it. But our friends' better half, Brittany, just every day hammered my balls. Are you getting that tattoo or not, bitch? Are you going to go get that tattoo or are you going to be a pussy? Are you the dragon or not? So, like a lot of things, peer pressure got the best of me. And we went and got the tattoo. And it. So even then it was still just kind of an inside joke that took the next step up. And I think where it really stuck is at Down South camp out in Florida later that year in Inglis that Tarpon Turbo puts on. It's this biker camp out bar. They've got this old school bus. It's a bar. On top of it, they've got these two big ass plastic dragons. They look a lot sturdier than they are. So everybody's like, get up there, go ride the dragon. Let's get a picture of you. Just go sit on it. Fuck yeah. So, gang, sounds good to me. Jump up there and I go to swing a leg over it. My foot barely hits the tail and it pops off. And I immediately go, I'm not like destructive drunk guy. I want to have a good time, but I'm not trying to tear shit up. So I immediately go into freak out mode. I'm trying to put the tail back on, and there's like a ball and joint, like a socket kind of thing. I'm trying to get in that, but I can't quite do it. So I throw my leg over the tail, and then I'm really thrusting in. Well, from the crowd, it looks like I'm giving this dragon the same kind of no romance prison love that I gave him right before I came over here.
Giving it
and the then business. I think it really stuck. It made the t-shirt for the next camp out, and it just seemed like to take on from itself then. So. The nickname. It's not, I didn't wake up one day and go, you know what? Start calling me. And I think Jace actually came up with the nickname part of it, the Instagram name. Before I had one of those just super generic Dinah, my area code or something.
You can just be like, just your name and your city. That's what I do. Just your name and your city.
That's the easiest way to go.
But I feel like dumb tattoos are great at biker rallies, right, Ken?
Yeah. Yeah.
So yeah, Ken has my name on his thigh from Daytona.
I love that shit. As a guy who, you know, we got all these dudes that have all these tattoos and we hang out with. I've got a couple on my chest, and that's so somebody kind of late to the tattoo game. At this point, I'm not trying to look like a that's it. I'm trying to get shit like that. Funny bangers, weekend stuff, like stuff where like, where'd you get that? Oh, let me tell you about this one.
See, I got another one that I was just kind of like talked into. It was my wife took advantage of me being drunk.
It's a good one though.
It's a fire tattoo.
Is that your dick tattoo?
Huh?
Is that the dick tattoo?
Yeah.
The old dick butt.
Yeah, that's fucking that guy right there.
Hell yeah.
Fucking that was dumb. Yeah, my wife took advantage of me. I was fucking hammered and there was a fundraiser going on for fucking what was that dude's name? Fucking like Eddie Gallagher or something like that. That fucking team guy that was committed like fucking mass murder over in Afghanistan or Iraq, whatever, but fucking whatever. But it was a fundraiser for him, for his lawyer fees. So I was like, fuck it, dude. Like $20 tattoos, let's fucking go. And I was, like I said, dude, I was fucked up. And my wife like walked in before me. She's like, oh, my husband's finishing a cigarette. I'm just gonna fill all shit out for him. Walked right in, chick didn't even fucking stop me. The guy just kind of fucking pointed at me. He's like, hey man, you're up. Fuck, get on the table. I was like, okay. Well, like, let's table. Go. He's like, what are you getting? And I looked over at Melissa. I was like, hey, let me see the flash sheet. She's like, oh, he's getting number 4, whatever the fuck it was, right there. I was like, cool, what's number 4? And he fucking started tattooing my ribs. I was and just sober. Fucking like, yo, whoever's got rib tattoos out there, like, fucking props to you for sitting that long. I got like 1.5 by 1 inch little fucking tattoo on my ribs. Never a fucking again. I'll tattoo my face before I tattoo my fucking ribs.
Yeah. I did my ribs and I was stupid every time. There was not a single time where I was like, this is the greatest decision of my life.
No, dude, fuck that.
And none of them I was sober either. So I guess that makes more sense why I kept going back.
Probably that. You gotta be drunk for that.
I was in Thailand once and got a tattoo. That was odd.
Oh man, so I'm so used to hearing those kind of stories from Dave. So I was like, what kind of disease did you bring home? Like,
our buddy Kyle, drive ass honky. He's been to Thailand before, and the fucking 12-year-old boys jokes never stop.
Yes,
never stop.
Yes, the lady boy.
I'm just jealous. I didn't go with her.
More women say my penis is bigger than yours than I have in Thailand and actually mean it.
And it'd be factual.
Almost every time. He's like, you know what?
Where are we dropping, boys?
Time to go home.
We're fucking doing it.
So are you coming to the hometown rally, right?
I am.
Are you riding up here or what?
So Kyle's got the big PTO thing. Seems like he's always maxed out on PTO, and he's kind of my we're the Bo and Lou Duke of this thing, where we will ride together no matter how it takes to get there. If the difference of in hit and one of us not going is let's just do it together, then we make it happen. I don't think I said that right. But for example, if Kyle had a broken foot, which this has happened, and he couldn't make it to an event, but I could ride, fuck it, I'll drive the car and to make sure you go, so you have a way to get there and back.
Yeah.
Sacrifice riding kind of thing. So because of his time off situation, we were planning on road tripping, just jumping in the car and knocking it out. But since, I guess, Bike Night Tuesday, I was talking to Jetty, and I think Cody's chimed in a little bit more. Now we're getting a little bit of a ball busting, and I think we may end up riding. And see, Kyle, I'm fine with doing turn and burns because I can do Adderall. I answer to nobody. Kyle has a government job and he can't do any drugs. So he has to actually be a man and an adult when it comes to, you know, driving through the night, stuff like that. Where
I've found that Adderall makes me better at my government job.
Yeah. It's
but we might have different government jobs, but I just have to deal with veterans all day long. And it's actually like you become more productive working with veterans if you're fucked up. So
yeah, without getting too much in his stuff, he's an airplane mechanic, and I believe it's a government contract, whoever he works for. So
I guess I don't want if I'm on a Delta Airlines flight, I don't really want that dude hopped up on some shit.
Yeah, exactly. To the point where we've been, you know, on the road on some of these big trips, and you know, he's walked over with me to a dispensary and they'll scan your ID before you go in, and he'll step back and go, all right, well, I don't even want my shit scanned in the database. I'm just going to hang back and I'll wait for you to come out kind of thing. So, but I'm down to go. I'm down to go either way, whether we just pile in his Toyota and drive up there, whether we ride up there, either way, it's going to be fun. I'm looking forward to it so much.
Yeah. And hopefully there'll be some decent weather. So I don't know how much you got to see from Moment Tribe, but some of the sights in Milwaukee, I mean, I always tell people, like, you know, people that always talk about – people sleep on Milwaukee. And if you enjoy – I would say if you enjoy New York even for a day, think of, like, Milwaukee as the version in a snow globe. I mean, obviously, it's a 50th of the size of fucking New York City. But it's the same concept. It's that old construction. It's that shipyard, that steel mill. I mean, it's right on Lake Michigan. So, you know, there's the shipping industries and the connection to Lake Superior and connection to, you know, the Mississippi River and stuff like that through Wisconsin. Like, that's the heritage and how these cities were first constructed or laid out or whatever. And so a lot of that, you know, that design or that architecture still exists, even if it's been renovated to, you know, million-dollar condos or whatever. The, you know, they're still the same and updated on the inside. And that shit's cool to me. I love that. That's the small – the streets, man, they might be beat the fuck up, but they're kind of a small ones, and you're going between large buildings and old warehouses and shit. I like that. And so if you didn't get a chance to check out more Milwaukee at Moma Tribe, we'll fucking have to check some of it out.
Yeah. No, we didn't at all. We flew up here for that. It was cold weather. I think for the most part, we just kind of did the party stuff, the, you know, between the pre-party, after-party. We hit the museum. But kind of hit some of the highlights. And I didn't even get to the original museum or the original factory, you know, the
small. Yeah.
We didn't get to the PBR brewery. There was several things that Kyle and I kind of wanted to, but the last day we were leaving, we kind of set up where we had a big chunk of the day to hang out. But, man, the weather was just shit. We didn't feel like spending $100 in Ubers, you know, by the time it was all done. So we headed to the airport and hung out with a couple buddies and just drank until they – a couple dudes from Arkansas – but yeah, I'm looking forward to it. And to be honest, I was being sincere when I said if we ride up there in a car, no sweat at all. But if we ride, like, I'm really looking forward to doing that. It's not so much the ride up there. That'll be cool. I think we've got a cool couple stops on the way. But being up there, I heard there was going to be a bike night, I guess, at the museum, maybe Friday night.
I don't know when you're getting in, but Thursday there's an iron. So the Iron Horse Hotel is kind of right next to the Harley Museum. It's basically kitty corner or across the thing. But the Iron Horse is kind of one of those things that I was talking about where they took an old warehouse basically and they renovated into some really trendy – it's a really trendy hotel. The rooms are expensive as fuck. But they have this outdoor patio bar area that you can chill at that's fucking awesome. And then you can pretty much – if you want to walk, bar hop, ride, whatever – from the Harley Museum bar in that area. Then there's a place right right across the traffic circle called Mob Crafters, which has beer and pizza. Then there's a brewery over here. Then that Fuel Cafe where they let you do a burnout on top of the bar. That's like five buildings down the block and stuff like that. So it's a cool little area with a lot of shit like central to it.
Yeah, I'm looking forward to it. Like I said, especially if Kyle can pull it out where we can ride, let's fucking go, dude. And I'm looking forward to seeing as much as we can cram into it. And at that point, if we ride up there, I'm saying some of the event stuff maybe put on hold. At that point, I go into hanging out with you dudes and, you know, the homies up there and whatever we get into. I'm a flow guy. Like when I travel, I don't like a big itinerary when it comes to cruises. I get into port. I don't want to have to go swim with the dolphins at 1:45 and do this. I want to get off and go find the little no-name bar and find the guy, you know, doing fish tacos in a hut and shit like that. So when we get up there, I'm not big. Oh, we've got this scheduled. What do you guys want to do? Y'all tell me what's good.
Yeah. Like I said, the PAP shit to see that, like, especially at night. So that area has kind of been renovated as well. Where that PAPS is, they put a big fancy hotel in there, but the old PAP sign still sits above like the street. So you can like at night, it's all lit up. It's a big neon sign that says PAPS. And so people can go and like park their bikes underneath it and get a picture of that. And like you said, the original, not the original, but where the Harley plant is and right across from the Harley plant is the start of Miller Brewing. So like where the Miller Brewing facility is and you can like, so they have, it's called Miller Valley. And so like, well,
Miller.
Oh, here we go. where's the fucking stop button on this thing?
Oh, I'll drink it all. Who am I kidding? I'm a whore. I'm a lush.
But the Harley Museum's cool too. They got an outdoor bar patio area that's right on the Milwaukee River, so you can like sit out on that shit and check out the river and whatnot. And it brings in girls. I mean, for whatever reason, girls must find it trendy because they'll fucking, girls that don't ride Harleys or care about dudes that ride Harleys go to those bars.
Yeah, everybody's going through a phase where they want to date a biker or fuck a biker or know a biker or something.
I think it's like if you have a bar that charges $6 for a beer, the girls are going to come. I don't know what it is.
Enjoyment when they're in that phase, because after that, then they start making T-shirts and thinking they're in the industry, and it gets out of hand.
Oh.
Calm down.
You're 20 minutes into this.
I'm talking shit.
Yeah, dude. Next thing you know, fucking Papa Juan's going to make memes and shit out of this.
Oh, he's probably already going to make a meme about this.
Dude, I'm looking forward to it. That man kept me so fucking entertained.
Yeah. The thing about I'll be real about Juan. I love him to death. We talk personally quite a bit. Not all of his memes hit for me, there's some sort of, where I'm like, eh, okay, not everything's a home run. sometimes we ground out to the shortstop. That's fine. What I love about Juan is he backs it the fuck up and he puts miles down and he's not just a dude in his basement doing memes that happens to own a bike or happens to have a glimpse into this.
Well, he's a pilot too, isn't he?
Yeah, yeah. Well, I don't know. I don't think he's a pilot anymore, but he was a helicopter pilot, if I'm not mistaken, in the Navy. But yeah, he as far as riding and now, like he does put down the miles, and that motherfucker he'll get somewhere. He'll ride halfway across the country in like a day on you, where all of a sudden you're like, oh goddamn. So props to him for that. He does it, and he's doing a lot more stuff that I've been doing the last month or two, and I'm kind of living through him on some of his trips.
Yeah, he had hit us up. God, I don't remember why. Maybe we actually got something that was funny. I don't remember, but he had hit us up and I don't know, said something was funny or he enjoyed something, I think it was, or whatever. I was like, oh, dude, thank you so much. We appreciate that. And talked about getting him on the show. But then, like, you know, Ken moved from Jacksonville to Virginia, and we kind of just went dead for a while. We haven't really recorded anything new. Ken is actually, I know I talked about this with Jace already, but now that we're recording so that everybody can hear it, Ken actually has a banger of an episode that he recorded that he's sitting on and refuses to release it because he's self-conscious about how it turned out. And I think he should just say, fuck it, and send it.
He's letting it age like fine wine. That's what it is.
No, I'm going to fucking wait until it just falls off of the fucking download list. And then be like, oh, nah, I fucking couldn't get to it, Tom. Sorry. We got to redo it.
Feels like a very Kanye move.
No,
just release it.
Just releasing
it. It's little dick energy, I know. But
I love Kanye. I was saying that as a compliment.
Oh, well,
I think you're a genius, Ken. Come on, man. Don't paint me with that brush.
Everybody, I'm the punching bag for everybody. I'm the guy. Anyways,
hey, welcome to my world. First time. What's the meme? What? First time.
What?
Yeah, fuck it.
I've been gassing you up to Jace. To Dragon talking about this great episode that you did, and you're like, I'm the punching bag. Shut the fuck up.
Yeah, see, he talks about me behind my back. Nice. But I've never heard this man compliment me, not once.
I'm saying just now, I was like, you have a great episode that you did. You know, I take it back. Your fucking episode sucks. Fuck your episode.
I know. That's why I'm not going to post it. No, I'm going to re-record it because, like I said, man, it was just ass. The audio quality was shit because –
Was it a solo? Just you by yourself? Just talking?
No, it was me. It was me and Drifter. But my, I didn't have my microphone with me because it was all packed up. I was in my former office. I had hard floors, so like everything was echoey. It was fucking real bad. Like I told Dave before the episode started, I'm going to. I mean, if he wants to do it with me, that'd be cool. But we're definitely going to do it like a two-part thing, right? So I'm going to fucking run down, even if it's like a monologue and it's just me on the episode. I'm just going to run down and be like, all right, cool. This is what happened, blah, blah, blah. But like just three major events, right?
It's a history podcast.
Totally didn't even fucking talk about it. Yeah, it's a history podcast behind the history of the 1% diamond. And
hell yeah.
I'll just.
No. The label, the whole label.
Well, everything, the whole moniker. Yeah. So like you'll talk about the three major events and then be like, hey, but there's like a lot of neat shit in between these three events, and then like shortly after these three events that Dave has way more information on than I do. So we'll record the second episode after that and then release that and then give people some time to like write in questions and be like, hey, like you kind of talked about this, but you just kind of glanced over it, like what was like the significance of even mentioning this? Shit like that, whatever. That we can address in the second episode.
That almost sounds like not too far from the hardcore history, Dan Carlin's premise. If you guys like history podcasts and you never listen to that, and in my opinion, he's kind of the goat on that. It's called Hardcore History, and some of the greatest, they're long, but they're in depth. And it's a guy talking by himself that kind of monologues it, but he's done all the research before and he's got his notes, but he also gets on his sidetracks. And like I said, some of the most enjoyable shit I've ever listened to in my life.
I think Ken would fucking rock. He should almost like a dissertation, like a professor teaching a class, put the information out there, let it be out there for a couple weeks, whatever. Let people comment, write in, ask questions, put together, and then put together a second show that's more of this back and forth, beer drinking, answering questions, and talking about side stories and stuff like that. I think that'd be your idea is fucking awesome, and you should just run it. But you're being a little bitch.
Well, it's also cool that you guys are thinking that you're actually trying to innovate it and keep it fresh and changing stuff up, and you're just not just rolling with the same endless formula of, hey, let's have somebody on, let's get, you know, fucking irony for me to talk, let's get on, let's have some beers, let's talk shit. But just the fact that you're trying to read, you know, and the guy, you know, Jace's the guy whose studio I'm at, he's doing the same thing. He's constantly thinking of, how do I keep this fresh? How do I turn this over? How do I make it enjoyable for these people to consume and make it worth their time and money for the ones that sign up for it? And I know he's got a couple ideas, you know, that have been rolling around that I'm excited to be a part of, as far as kind of a little bit of a history and going back and looking at, you know, more into the podcast and just the quaint zone. It's so, hats off to you.
And for those that don't know, you know, obviously I think probably anybody that follows us or listens to the Fast Life and knows Jace does the Fast Life podcast. So they probably also know that you, and Jivet, Kyle, Jivet, Honky, and Jace, and some, you know, whoever else happens to be around, have done the quaint zone. But it's really kind of, you know, it seems like, anyway, my perspective, Jace has tried to take the focus away from himself and Fast Life and create something different with y'all kind of leading it, for the quaint zone. Is that close to it, to right?
That's 100%. Without, I guess it's fair to say, like, Andrew Schultz and that his Flagrant podcast, the Flagrant 2 specifically, that's definitely kind of an inspiration for what we're doing, as far as we've got this great cast of characters and everybody seems to know their role and actually perform their role fairly well. And there's just, it's, we're, you know, the Fast Life, that's his, you know, that's, that format is there and he's continuously getting better at it. But the Quaint Zone, you're right. It's not necessarily about him and the name. It's more of three buddies that are very comfortable with each other, a lot like what you guys do, that can riff, that we don't need a guest. We can talk about shit, whether it's stuff that's under our skin, stuff that just popped up new, stuff in the news, whatever. And for what, I don't get it. For whatever reason, though, it seemed, you know, people seem to enjoy it. And I think that's kind of the vibe that Kyle and Jason and I have, because man, when we're on doing it, it's not much different than if we're at a dive bar with a pitcher of beer between us, just shooting the shit. There just happens to be microphones. We get a little bit wilder, you know, at a bar, but those are what the Patreons are for. Sign up, people. It's not my Patreon. This is a selfless plug. But yeah, we just, it's friends. And, you know, we had our buddy Josh on, Doc Road King of the Day, and that's Saxon on before he left. And it's a great avenue, where it's not necessarily somebody Fast Life level as far as a guest, or hey, you know, clear your schedule and listen to this, but it's people that we wouldn't have them on if they weren't cool and we didn't think we could have a good conversation with them. And it's just honestly trying to give, I guess, a platform to some of our friend group and put a little bit more light on to what we have going on here, because I've been on record saying I've won the lottery with this group of friends and our core group. And man, I stand by it. Like I said, we have some of the raddest dudes ever. And now we're going on 4 years of this. We've had the ups and downs, and we've, you know, to the point where the core has really solidified, and we've still got the guys that we have nothing but fucking love for, but their lives are a little different now. And they may still be in 2018, 2019. They're not fucking with this. That's fine. No, there's no love. There's no drama. There's no, nobody got kicked out, anything like that. It's just, you're a part of it as much as you want to be a part of it. And the inner core has gotten so strong. But I'm seeing, like, with the rebranded bike night, there's a whole, it turns over. There's new dudes that are hitting me up that, you know, I got not bitched at the other day, but I had a dude at bike night tell me, hey, when you guys do these Sunday rides and I see y'all out fucking around on the weekend and you obviously you're not putting it out there, holler at me, dude. I want to do this. Like, I want to come ride. I've got time. Let's do it.
Did you let him know what he's got to do to prospect?
Yeah. Well, it's one of the things where, you know, originally our group chat started as a way to, we weren't as tight as we all were. It started as a reason. So if we put 15, 20 dudes in this thing, just the law of averages, hopefully on a Saturday, if I want to get out and do something, out of 15 or 20, I can get two, maybe three dudes, maybe one that can actually do it, that'll do it. And it's the same thing. You know, we've had this one group chat that it's kind of evolved, but we're 4 years later. And like I said, it's not that active anymore. And I realize without bringing new people in, because then it kind of feels like a relationship. Ah, I'm not bringing I'm not bringing this inside, this outsider into our inside shit we've had for so long, but there does have, you have to stay on top of it. And it's made me, you know, I'm thinking, do I need to do a new chat? What do I need to do to bring in these people that are just coming around from the last 6 months, year, whatever? They don't know about shit 2 years ago, 3 years ago, 4 years ago, but they're down to ride. They're showing up and supporting bike night every night. They're coming to the camp out. They love what we're doing and they want to be a part of it. How do I get them involved too? And that's, like I said, we talked about it the other night. Man, my dick is hard right now on like smaller trips. Like we do our big trip, you know, me and Jace just did that month on the road. I'm really getting in. I really miss doing, I guess, the stuff before I had friends. And it's been such a whirlwind 4 years, just doing every event and making just about every big thing. Not everything, not, you know, by any means, but most of it. You know, it's cost me a relationship as far as I want more of this time. And I've said no. Like, my goal ultimately is to get into the industry, which means I need to be at these things more and more and more. And I'm not giving it up. You know, Wolf of Wall Street, I'm not fucking leaving. And to the point where, it cost me a serious relationship. That she's a great chick, but she deserves better because I'm fucking selfish. I'm insanely selfish when it comes to this. And I'm not going to stop. I'm not going to. This shit means too much to me. So you got to give everybody their chance to get into that and to have a stake in it. And I feel like that's kind of what my role is. I can't paint. I can't create. I'm lucky to have a spot where I can get on and have some beers and laugh with people where other people can watch it. But other than that, man, my job here in this scene right now is to deliver fun, positive. I'll talk some shit or whatever, like anybody else. But, dude, I'm here to talk, to have fun, deliver positivity, make people feel welcome, to hopefully be that gap, to show somebody that you can roll up on a stock street bob, ape hangers, not know what the fuck you're doing, get laughed at, and guess what? Just don't be a dickhead, weather the storm, and you can have this. Like, you can have these friends. You can have this same life that we have, that, you know, the whole Instagram is a motherfucker thing, and I feel like people may look through it sometimes and think it's just a never-ending party. It's not, but it kind of is. But it is because our friends. It's just, I can't. It's, we, Dave, we've talked about it. It's the club stuff. It gets into a little bit of the, you know, I feel we can do it
a little bit. So let's pivot there for a minute, since we're four for the road, and not all of our stuff, but a lot of our stuff revolves around clubs, and that almost all of us that do four for the road are either active in a club or hanging around a club, prospecting, or have been in clubs, etc. You know, one of the, I guess there's going to try and follow me here. I'm not on Adderall right now, so this may be a little spacey, but one of the things that I loved from the Fast Life podcast in the very, not the very beginning, but when like more of the dudes started coming on that have a friendship or relationship with Jace, one of the things that I liked about your perspective was you were somebody in the beginning and not that you're not still, but you gave a different perspective than what we had. And I liked it. I don't want to like fight somebody over opinions, but I want you to prison sex my butthole of my mind and stretch it out a little bit, like make me think of other shit. And Dragon, he did that because you were. And so if you just listen to the Fast Life podcast and you've never met Dragon, you think he's like a 6'4" Texan, like who's ever beating people up an urban cowboy, like at Gillies. Like that's what you think when you hear him talk. And when I first would hear him on these podcasts, he had almost like an anti-club stance. And I don't know if that's accurate to say anti-club. It's just a label that I'm going to throw on it for this ramble. But, you know, here's this big bass voice Texan talking about how he doesn't need clubs. And if you're here to have fun, great. But if you run up, you can get done up. And that kind of thing. And giving an alternative viewpoint to why people can ride, have groups, have this brotherhood, have this camaraderie, but not need a patch. And I dug that because if you're not talking to people that maybe have a different opinion than you, then you're just fucking spinning your wheels. You're in a fucking echo chamber and you're not going anywhere. And now hearing you talk now, I don't think that your stance has changed at all about being a non-club guy, but you describe almost to a T, and I think Ken would be a perfect jump in here, what people are looking for when they look for clubs. Like you just described everything, a new dude, he wants to roll up on his bike, take a little bit of shit, and then get accepted into the group chat.
Yeah.
Am I wrong?
No, that's prospecting in a nutshell right there. You know, like you gotta, you got to take a couple bites of the shit sandwich that everybody else did, which is, you know, having a little bit of shit talked on you, whatever, fucking like, oh, dude, fucking sick sportster queer, you know, like, you got to go through all the bullshit, you know, I mean, fucking even fucking Harlan here, he fucking rolled over my house on his fucking Dyna the first time. I was like, dude, that sissy bar pulls all the dudes, doesn't it?
You pulled up on my Dyna to your house for the first time.
Did I ride it back for the dealership?
You took my bike off the dealership.
Did I?
Yep.
I don't remember that. I mean, I remember riding the fuck out of it.
Oh, you definitely took it because I didn't have my license.
Oh, that's right. That's right.
And then I was like, hey, you remember how it had like 8,000 miles on it? Yeah, now it has like 9,000.
Yeah.
Like, I hope it was a great time.
It was a fucking blasty blast. But no, I think it's absolutely correct, man. And you know what? Like, thinking about it, too. Because, you know, like you talk to certain club dudes or clubs, period, you know, people are saying, oh, yeah, dude, like growth is real slow, which is fun, whatever. But like clubs could be extinct here in fucking 30 years, 40 years, because people aren't getting that, you know, what Dragon's talking about. Like, hey, like, let's go fucking ride. Let's go fucking over here and laugh and spread positivity. And, you know, you get a bunch of these fucking cocksuckers joining fucking clubs thinking that it's all gang shit and you got to be all fucking like tough and fucking like just mean mugging everybody all the fucking time. Nobody wants to be a part of that.
I don't
want to go hanging with the motherfuckers that are like laughing fucking hysterically in the corner of the bar, like nut tapping each other. Don't get me wrong. Don't fucking nut tap me. That shit hurts. But like those guys that are acting childish and like having a good time and aren't afraid to be 100% authentic wherever they're at, that's who I want to fucking hang out with. I don't want to hang out with these fucking mean mugging motherfuckers in a corner not having fun.
Yeah, and a lot of those dudes are the same guys that it does feel more cosplay. It feels more weekendish to them. There's, you know, as far as and to clarify the whole run-up, what I was trying to say is obviously there's the real deal, you know, the outlaw clubs that it is what it is. If they, you know, the power in numbers and they just, if they roll up and a dude disrespects you, maybe you eat that shit sandwich just because you realize the gravity and the weight of the patch that dude holds.
I think you're talking about the same thing that they're talking about, is that everybody wants to be respected. And I think whether you're an independent or you're a club guy, the most well-liked people in a club, the dudes that are the biggest hitters, the dudes that are the most respected, the dudes in a club are the dudes that have so much confidence in who they are. And I'm not just saying they're confident that they can throw a punch like Tyson. I'm just saying they're comfortable in their own skin. They're comfortable with who they are, with or without a patch, are the dudes that, for the most part, they don't cause problems. And they're the dudes that everybody wants to hang around. Everybody wants to ride with. Everybody wants to have a beer with that club dude. And I think that's universal. I don't think it matters really, for the most part, what club you're in. I think there's guys like that all over. And then I think you have non-club guys that are the same way. You have dudes that, you know, are absolutely the dudes at bike night that aren't in a club that those clubs want to recruit. And the clubs say, we don't recruit. Yes, you do. Just how you carry yourself in public. If you act like a dickhead as a club, or if you act like cool dudes that ride, like people are going to be attracted to that. That's fucking recruiting. And I think it's the same way for guys that don't wear a patch. When you see guys, you know, let's use Dragon as an example. When you see that, when you go and have a beer with him, when you say, I'm only going to stop for one beer, and then you end up at Oklahoma at 2 a.m., like, those are people you want to hang out with, not because they're tough guys, not because they mean mug you in a bar, not because they want to fight you or whatever. It's like those are just genuinely good people that are comfortable being who they are. And whether that's a club or an independent, I think people are drawn to that. And I think, like, to Ken's point too, like, you know, clubs are responsible. I would argue, my argument's always been that clubs are more responsible for their conduct than the general public. And I think everybody in the club should feel like that. And you want to be around the club guys that, like Ken said, are having a good time. Absolutely, there's a time and a place to be serious and to, you know, maybe you don't want to nut tap each other.
Yeah,
like I get that.
But you're all riding Harley fucking Davidsons. We're all men. You know what I mean? It's one of those things. I hope that nobody I ride with is such a pussy that they're, you know, that they can't defend themselves or stand up for themselves if the situation calls for it.
But I think,
if we're being honest, how many times as an adult do you really have to get in a fight unless you're kind of going out looking for, you know what I mean? Very rare. You shouldn't. And an extension of that is when you're out with your buddies and there's more than like two of you and you're on bikes, a lot of people are going to give you that same pass as they would if you had some heavyweight patch on, just because these dudes are on bikes. We don't want to fuck with them. They're probably, they look like they're cool. They're not They're not over here staring. You know what I mean? Just you would be surprised how much people like motorcycles, dudes that like motorcycles, if you're not the guy on a motorcycle being an asshole. They like guys on, I mean, because the whole thing, everybody has an uncle, a grandpa, a dad, somebody that used to ride. But man, like I said, if you can leave that asshole shit at home, you'd be surprised how much just normal cagers or whatever you want to call them don't really fuck with you. I don't know what it is, man. Some of these dudes just, they want to be victimized. It's, you know what I mean? They're like, oh, I want to be the victim and I want to be picked on. And it's.
When I bought my Harley, the salesman's like, dude, you're going to get pussy. And I'm not sure that any single girl has ever complimented me on my bike, but every gas stop, there's some motherfucker in a Subaru that wants to talk about my. So I was headed back from Milwaukee. My wife and I, we went out for our anniversary weekend. I stop in this town. This town is called Lake Mills. And that's so I used to live in Milwaukee until I was about 12. Then we moved to this small farming town, my mom, called Lake Mills. So I stopped there for gas. If you've ever been to Wisconsin, Quick Trips are fucking like the only gas station game in town. And I got a Red Bull and I'd gotten gas. And then I moved my bike up because I didn't want to be an asshole. It was busy. So I moved my bike up from the pump into a parking stall and I'm drinking my Red Bull. This guy pulls up, says, hey, nice bike. Thank you. Goes inside. Another car pulls up. Guy says, hey, nice bike. Thank you. Goes inside. He comes back out and he goes, I know I already said this, but I just want to say it again. Nice bike. And I was like, oh, thanks, dude. He goes, you just got a great vibe about you. And I was like, thank you. And he goes, no, I just love your whole look. And you have great eyes. And I was like, are you hitting on me right now? Because let me tell you what, there is not a part of me that doesn't want to get gassed up right now. You go ahead and just keep those compliments.
Come on, dude.
I don't care who you are. A compliment feels good. But that's the closest to pussy I've gotten so far with my motorcycle.
Yeah, if you buy a motorcycle to get pussy, I think you're making a bad move. It's one of it doesn't hurt once. It doesn't hurt your chances once they know you have a bike. But if you think like just rolling on going, hey, babe, I've got the new street bob. I don't think that's really going to fucking move the needle for you unless you're just a Leo DiCaprio looking, you know what I mean? But
yeah. I pulled up on my very first bike to the first time in a bar. It was a Suzuki Katana back in Norfolk. I expected the girls just to come the fuck out of the bar once they heard my bike. Didn't happen.
Yeah. Well, it's a Katana, so, I mean.
What are your chances with that one?
Yeah. Yeah. That's probably why they called it a Katana, because it cuts your chances of getting laid. Ah, good one.
Like it. Just in the pieces. It goes ding, 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 ding. Right.
So I feel like there's a shift almost. And when you talk about events, when you talk about, you know, like you guys have you're not the only ones, but you know, I think you're kind of public on Instagram with advertising the T-Bar Tuesdays and fucking the T-Bar Cruise and the different you know, all the rallies or just the rides and the runs. And I think that's becoming like more dudes like, dude, I want to do that. I want to do that kind of shit. I would almost argue that more guys are attracted to that type of life than the club life. I know that we've talked about it on plenty of episodes. It's not a secret that I think, my opinion, personal opinion, is that you give up far more freedom than you gain by joining a club. However, there are very immense and heavy positives that you can get from club life. And only you as an individual can decide if what you get back balances out or outweighs the freedom that you give up. But I think that with, I don't know, social media in general, with more folks doing kind of what you guys are doing and making it public, there really is a shift of guys that maybe 5 years ago, 10 years ago would have focused on clubs. They're saying, I think we're seeing more guys walk away from clubs to find something else. I think we're seeing guys that would have joined clubs previously say, I'm going to stay independent and ride like Dragon is and do this month-long in California.
I'm one of those dudes, yeah. I'm easily one of those dudes that, you know, when I bought my, I don't have friends that rode like my friends from high school, and I didn't really do the normal college thing. So when I got a bike, it was because I loved riding and I missed it. And all of a sudden I was like, what the fuck have I been doing? And you go to strokers, you go to the biker bar and you try to meet somebody, and I did a couple hog rides, and it's just not, you know, because that's a basic human need, right? Everybody wants friends. Everybody wants to be accepted. I don't give a fuck how much you say you're a lone wolf or whatever. It still feels good to, if nothing else, have a buddy, have something. So when you get in a motorcycle, you can only do so many little rips by yourself. You're like, you know what would be cool? That's just a natural evolution. doing this with somebody that I, somebody else that likes doing it, and then somebody I like, and you know, on so on and so on. So I did the Hog Chapter stuff. I, you know, I had a couple of the support club guys come up, and it just, it never really, I don't know, maybe that's just a personality thing. And man, it just, I don't know. But even then, I knew then, I did, I say that tongue in cheek. I wasn't ready for that sort of commitment or anything like that. And I think there's a lot of dudes that, so as far as what we do and trying to promote the bike nights and the different crews and stuff like that, ultimately, in my heart of hearts, I feel like I want to give to the guy that just goes up and buys his first Sportster, Dyna, whatever the fuck he gets. I just want to give him an option. I want to make sure he knows there's somewhere for him to go that's not his Hog Chapter, or that's not XY Support Club or whatever. Like, he has a place to go if he wants to try to meet people. If you don't want to meet people, that's fine. If you just want to come and, you know, wallflower it and be amongst bikes that you – I just want them to have an avenue and to know that we're here, and it's not as intimidating as it may seem, because when you're new to it, everything's intimidating. It is. Anything with somebody you don't know is – you just – it's a natural thing. You're thinking the worst, or most people do anyways. I just want them to know you have a place to come that nobody's – we may bust your balls when we get to know you a little bit. When you walk up, it's going to be, hey, man, nice to meet you. Where'd you come from? How was the ride? Can I buy you a beer if this is your first time? That we just – and then after that, everything else works. That's like dating. It works itself out. You know what I mean? We'll either match, you'll mingle with the group and like it, or you won't. And time and whatever, that'll take care of itself. But just come into it. You got to – it's not like a numbers like, oh, we got to replace these dudes that don't fuck around anymore. You just want a healthy current scene. And yeah. It's like a garden. It takes constant cultivation and putting effort into it.
Hey, Ken, is, you know, I think you're a great example, maybe just because I know you more than I know other people. But as somebody that's had to – or is currently, if we can, you know, talk about it, weighing – the pros and cons of clubs versus maybe it's even, you know, what draws you to a specific club or fucking staying independent or not being independent. Like, what, I don't know how I'm trying to ask that question, but basically just give us your mindset when you're weighing that shit. What are you looking at?
Well, I want to be in a motorcycle club because I was told that they get pussy.
Hey, so does the katana, all right? I calm down.
Well, yeah, I guess, and you know what? I think everybody
wants to go to Harley, though.
Everybody does have their internal reasons. Some dudes, they want to wear the cut, they want to look cool, whatever that comes with, whether it's they think it's gonna get them pussy, whether they think it's gonna get them respect. Some dudes, you know, they want the outfit. Some guys want the friendship, some guys don't have a bunch of friends, and the concept of or the possibility of an automatic 12, 6, 8 dude, brothership, friends, immediate friend group, that's a big thing to a lot of people. I don't know what everybody's thing is as far as getting into it. I just know that I'm so happy with our dudes. And honestly, if I wouldn't have met them, I wouldn't be surprised if I was in a club right now, because I love what we have, and I probably would have kept searching for it as far as the fellowship and the brotherhood and all that stuff. I probably would have kept looking for it, to be honest, but I took a chance. I saw some stuff on Instagram. I've said it before. I saw Jace's brother, Jesse, who he's kind of gone in a different direction. We're still all cool, but he doesn't ride right now. And when I first saw him on Instagram, it was, who is this Jex Teller looking motherfucker? Who does he think he is, like, with all these cool pictures? And I kind of hated on him without even knowing the guy. And just the way Instagram is not reality. If there's anything, if you're fucking listening right now, Instagram is not fucking reality. Just to make it a little bit more normal or relatable, relationship stuff. Some people that you may see doing relationship posts and my man crush this and my woman crushes, some of those people have the most toxic, unstable fucking relationships that you've ever seen, but yet they're holding it together for the fucking sake of the gram. It makes me sick. It just, never trust what you believe. It's never as good as what you see online. And I saw these, and the testament to that is this whole, like, the way I met Jason, all these guys. So I saw them, and they did a New Year's Day ride, and I was like, man, it just looks like these guys have been riding together forever. Like, what a hard, like, these guys are fucking homies. This is like a crew. Like, how do you crack into something like this? In reality, these motherfuckers had barely met a couple months ago, had done like one ride together, but they just took a bunch of photos of the one they did and made it look cool. So they were doing an event at this barbershop I went to, and I looked, I got there, and I was like, oh, fuck, that's that yellow FXR. That's that one. That's that dude, the fast lane or whatever. And I'm saying that joking because I didn't, you know, didn't know him. I mean, I knew him, hadn't even started listening to the podcast, but they were there. I went to take a piss. They all dipped out except Jesse, the one guy I'd been hating on. And I came out, and sure enough, I was like, hey, man, I'm Jaden. Nice to meet you. And he's like, oh, whatever. Gave me a good enough vibe that the next week I went to the T-Bar Tuesday, and it was downhill after that, man. I walked up. Our buddy James had a V-Rod. I was so nervous. I didn't even notice the V-Rod in like the crowd of Dinah's and whatever else was out there. And I walked up and made a V-Rod joke. And I said, hey, guys, this is the V-Rod meetup. So everybody like laughs harder than they should have because they think, oh, who's this guy we've never seen shooting shots at James? And I was just like, damn, dude, I killed it with that V-Rod joke, huh? So I sat down. I swear to God, I don't think I said two words the next two bike nights. And then it slowly turns, whatever. I knocked a dude out a couple weeks later, and I'm in. And there you go. And we've all been rolling since then. And we've got stories. We know where the bodies are buried. And like I said, our inner circle are dudes. You know, I'm not trying to be over the top. They're guys I'd shoot somebody for. You know what I mean? Like it's that. Like guys that what you were saying, the ultimate value of friendship, I would think it would be the best of the club stuff. Like I genuinely have a handful of dudes that I know I can call 3 a.m, 3 p.m, whatever the fuck it is, they've got me.
Like, all right, so Ken, everything that he just said, I agree with how that is applicable and applies to club life. So what do you find? And I'm not, I don't want this to sound like I'm like testing you, not at all. Like, I want your insight. What do you think you find more so in clubs that gives it that extra, I'm going to do this instead of just being solo, like what he just described?
I think clubs provide that for people who don't have that, you know. A lot of people don't have that area where they can go to a fucking bike night and just meet up with some dudes and like, it's cool. And then, you know, they exchange numbers, whatever, they start riding together a little bit. And then, you know, oh, hey, like we all get along. And then like my brother Harlan's cool. So like, I'm gonna bring him along next time. And then the crew kind of grows from there. And, you know, everybody's tight knit. Not everybody has that. And I think that a motorcycle club presents that opportunity to have it. But again, you know, like on the flip side of that coin, it does have those negative aspects to it as well. You have those assholes that are out there like, oh, I need to join this club because they get respect, or because I dubbed them the hardest fucking motorcycle club out there. Or, you know, they want the look. They want people to fear them instead of respect them and shit like that. But
so we talk about balancing it and how there's negatives, mm-hmm. positives. Only you, the person, can decide what's the right fit for you. So how did you, and not that this would apply to everybody or work for everybody, but how did you make that equation work for you?
With my last club, really, I just kind of hung out with them a lot. I was with them almost every day. Somebody else from, you know, another member every day. I was either over at their house, we were meeting at a bar, we were doing something. And I was just trying to see like, okay, cool. Can I put up with this motherfucker every single day for the next 12 years? You know? And it's just like, okay, cool. Like I like this guy. He's cool. You know, this guy, you know, you got to get to know him a little bit and realize that he's not being an asshole. It's just being his humor is sarcasm. Okay, cool. Right. It's individual. You got to figure out what works for you and what works for your life. You know, I mean, even like what Jaden was saying about, you know, he wants to break into the industry. He's busting his ass to do that. And it cost him a serious relationship. I mean, thank God he's got fucking Bend Over Betty on the ring. But, you know,
that's
like
Harley, man, you guys heard it. Everybody gets a Harley to get pussy, right?
You heard it here. You have a Harley Davidson and you listen to Four for the Road, you can prison fuck some chick and she will thank you for it later.
Yeah.
Hey,
should you do it, should you not, that kind of shit. Like, what would you like the, does what you get beat out what you lose? That kind of balance. Is that what you were talking about?
Yeah. I think so. And I think one thing that you kind of brought up and that Jaden was talking about too, is that, you know, it's what will you do for someone else? And your friends can say that, But how many friends are actually a Jaden? We don't know. I mean, there could be a ton out there. There could be very few. The inherent thing with a club that I think that men at least are looking for, I think it's similar with the military. Where can you go as a man, and as cheese dick as it fucking sounds, where can you have a set of standards that you either meet and are accepted or you don't? It's a proving ground. And with friendships, like Jaden's talking about, he found that and they have that. My question would be, and I'm not a fucking expert at all, so I don't know, is that the norm or is that not, you know, did Jaden find something special there, which, you know, it's not, but, you know, I think for clubs, whether it's true for all clubs or not, we know it's obviously not, but the inherent general idea, the accepted idea is that if you're going to be a motorcycle club, you should have these standards that people have to adhere to and meet and surpass to be accepted into your society, to be accepted to wear your flag of your country, your patch. There's not a fuck ton of places a man can go and get that proving ground and get that feeling in normal, regular society. If you're lucky enough to have a friend group like Jaden does today and other people that we've met have, then maybe a club never needs to be for you. And I get that. I respect that. But like Ken said, if you don't have that, the clubs are a place where you can fulfill. I think Ken said it the other day, something bigger than yourself. And I don't mean the club is bigger than you. I was talking with Ken about this. You know, and the people say, you know, the patch and you do everything for the patch and all that. Yeah, I get it. But I don't think the club is bigger than you. The friendships, the bonds, and the people to your left and right, that is what we're saying is – what I'm saying is bigger than yourself, that you're proving something to. Now, yeah, I get it. The flag, flag. I get it. The flag is the flag. But you're really – you're proving yourself to the other – you've met these other men. They mean so much to you that you want to prove what you are to them. And I think it sounds cheese dick maybe to anybody that doesn't feel that need. But if you can find a friend group or a club, I think you got a fucking made.
Yeah, and so like I don't – I mean, I don't think it's any secret. Like I'm a very pro motorcycle club kind of guy, right? And I know not everybody is, right? And that's fine. That's up to them. That's up to each individual to make that decision for themselves. Like Jaden has said very much, like if I didn't have what I have here, I probably would be in a club. But looking at the patch as what it is, at the end of the day, it's a piece of cloth, just like the American flag. It's just a piece of cloth. It's what that cloth represents.
Dave, can patch. You fire some Toby Keith up in the background? Right now? I don't like that. I don't like what I'm
proud to be American.
Yeah, some Lee Greenwood or something.
Fuck yeah, dude. But it's not the flag itself that you're serving or that you want or that, you know, makes you whatever it is. It's the idea behind the flag. It's what the flag represents. It's the values that flag represents. And it's got to be embodied by everybody around you to make that relevant, to make it work. And honestly, like, I agree with you. If, you know, if you got a crew like Jaden, or we have a friend that lives near me who has his crew. Honestly, I think, like, you know, using Jaden as an example, if he were to join a club right now, that wouldn't do anything but fuck up the friend group, because now you're removing Jaden from the friend group. They're still going to be friends, but now Jaden has this other group that he has to concern himself with over his former group of friends. You know what I'm saying? And no, I agree with you. I think in Jaden's position and people that are in Jaden's position that are lucky enough to have that, I don't think motorcycle clubs should be a thought unless it's just something where you feel like you need to be a part of an organization that has, you know, concreted, voted on set standards and bylaws, and this is how we're going to do things and blah, blah, blah. You know, if you need that the fuck am I looking for? The discipline, you need the structure, you know, join a motorcycle club. You'll get that there. But like a friend group, you'll have some guys to hold you accountable if they're good friends. You know, like if I come off sideways with some shit, or if I'm not doing what I need to do, I know Dave is going to be the first one calling me out of my bullshit.
And I guess that's where I feel like I have. Like, I'm not anti-club. I'm lucky enough to live in one of the four or five biggest cities in the country, and I was able to find this group. But I completely agree with you. There's a lot of dudes that don't have access to the people, and the club may be the way to go. And you know what? There is something to be said about, like you were just saying, the discipline and the actual markers. And it's something that I've never really been about. It was always – that was one we've talked about, Dave. That was – I don't – when I've talked to club guys or gotten the recruiting pitch, I'm like, man, I'm not really interested in like the rules. And if all of a sudden, if I have a bad month or 2 months and I don't ride, I'm not trying to eat shit for not putting so many miles. And this is coming from somebody that's ever been in clubs, so I may be ignorant. This may not even be a
thing. No, I think you're spot on. Like, people need to consider all of that before they join.
And yeah, so it's one of those things where that was the negative thing. And when I say what you said earlier about, is he the norm or no, I think we're the exception and almost the rare exception, because when I talk about our inner circle, we've got a big, big friend group. But when I'm talking about our inner circle and the guys, when I say shoot somebody for, that extends, I'll go ahead, that's Jace, Kyle, Franz. That's pretty much our big trip group, and me. That's the Dallas side. And then we've got Cody, Jacob, Larry, and Chance on the East Texas side. You throw in Trent, you throw in Jetty, a couple other dudes around here, and that's it. And
hey, did you hear that, Craig? Jane's not shooting nobody for you.
I'd shoot somebody for Craig too, like I said. But that's what I'm talking about when I say our inner circle. And you know what? We're a rare thing, because we've got four of us that live here, and the other four dudes, they're 2.5 hours away. But those guys grew up together. They've always been friends. So we've just, man, and like I said, that's not just because we've done some bike nights together. We've traveled the country now 4 years in a row, thousands of miles, adversity, and it's all the bullshit in between. Just like you were saying, Ken, about, if I'm fucking up, I've got dudes, I've got friends, I've got, Jace is as real as they come. When, Jace will look you in the eye and tell you, you're fucking up, this is dumb, whatever. Like, but it's all of us. Like, we've got, and I feel like we are the exception. So I don't feel like if you're setting yourself up to model us, good luck. I truly hope you get it. But a club may be your better option. And like I said, you just may have a little bit more stricter rules, bylaws, whatever you want to call them. But, man, I want everybody to have that. I just want everybody to have the group of friends, the core group of friends, the extended group of friends, and just never give up on this stuff.
And I think like what Ken – I think I heard Ken say it too earlier is like, you're talking about a group of people that – And again, anybody that's in a club or, people that have been in clubs, they might hear this and be like, oh, that's not always how it goes. Look, I get that's not always how it goes. But the premises of a club, the premise is, if Ken needs something at 4 a.m, the difference between a friend and a club brother is, if Ken fucks up at 4 a.m, instead of me roasting his ass with a meme or waiting until I go to work in the morning to see his text, I'm supposed to get up at 4 a.m. and I'm supposed to go help him out. It doesn't matter if he's in actual trouble or he fucked himself up doing something stupid. The idea behind a club is, you're saying, fuck it, I'm signing an unwritten contract that I will go to you at 4 a.m. And if it's your dumbass fault, we'll talk about it later. If it's something serious, then I'm coming anyway. And with friend groups, for a lot of folks, and I'm sure you've probably seen it, Jaden, there's dudes that'll say that, but there's nothing there to hold them accountable to it. Clubs should have things in place that hold you accountable to that word. Now, if you can find a Jaden that'll come to you at 3 a.m. and shoot somebody for you, that's a fucking home run. But the general idea is that the general public is probably not going to do that. Where motorcycle clubs are saying, yeah, we're supposed to be full of dudes, A to B to C, that will fucking do that for you. Are they? No, of course not. Not everybody.
That's where my cynical personality in 2022, again, unless you're maybe one of those big 4 or 5 heavy hitters, that's where my cynical nature goes. But do you really have this guy at 4 a.m?
Yeah, exactly. I agree.
I know I can call Jacob San Roman anytime, any day of the week. He's 2 hours east of me. I could call him at 3, 4, you name the time. And that dude is what's the town? We got to go do something. I can't tell you what. Who's car you driving? Dude, that's Jacob. That's 1,000%. I mean, it's so best. Jace, probably not. Jace probably going to let that go to voicemail and I'll talk to him. But at the same time, I say that tongue in cheek. Jace has also done so much for me. Like, it's, I don't know. Like I said, how much of the time is it really are you having to, it's not the opening scene of Goodfellas where we got a dude in the trunk. It's, you broke down something like that. And all those guys would give up their time, their money, whatever the fuck it is to help you at any minute. I know that. And not just me. That's not like only our inner circle. They would do it for a lot more people than probably realize that they would get it done for them, if that makes sense. Dudes that may not think you would get any help. You guess what, homie? You got just showing up and being cool. And you've got help.
I think – I'm sorry. I know a lot of people are always looking to find – the people who are having the genuine fun for no matter what the situation is. If it's talking politics, if it's talking bike stuff, if it's talking whatever, people are looking to find those genuine, real people over and over and over again to have be considered that inner circle. You know, you can find people at 30 minutes into a hangout, you know, getting ready to go ride on somebody who's riding through your neighborhood like a jackass when you got your kids around, or you can have somebody that you've known forever. You know, I think at the end of the day, when you find exactly what it is you're looking for, it doesn't matter how long you've known each other. It's like when it clicks, it clicks. You know, if you can provide that scene through whatever platform you're looking for, I think that immediately becomes more attractive to whoever might be looking for it. So I it's cool to hear when you're offering something like, hey, come hang out. You might find exactly what you're looking for here with no strings attached.
You know how he kills it too? So he's got T-Bar Tuesday, right? If they host that shit at a taco shop.
I'm glad that's where your brain was going. So
fucking killing it right there, man.
The one Dave came to.
T-Bar Tuesday. You know what I'm saying?
We kept Dave till way too late. It was, you know, what, 30 feet, 40 feet from a taco stop, from a taco stand? And it was good.
Rushing it.
I would be. I'd be showing up on my bike, but not fucking hanging out with anybody. Just giving the fucking taqueria the fucking card and be like, hey, come on. Keep her coming, man.
My dude, so good to see you again. Thanks so much for having me on. And
dude, it was a fucking pleasure, man. We follow each other on Instagram now, so I mean, like, I feel like I'm cool now. So
I'll follow anybody. Pretty much, if you follow me and we've got at least two mutual friends, and I see you can have one follower. But if you got a bike, it doesn't matter. If I can tell you're a real person on a bot, I'm following you back.
Hell yeah, dude. That's some celebrity shit right there. We like that. We like hearing that positivity shit.
It all changes when I get my blue check mark. Then I'm editing and all of the motherfuckers are gone.
All followers, zero.
Yeah.
But hey, so don't worry, listener land. The conversation's going to continue. I just have to dip out. But I do have something that's kind of important to me that I would like to put out before I go. I need everybody on here that wants the chance at winning a fucking badass Lowrider S to follow me. My personal Instagram, that's punkrock4ftr. Need you to follow Black Sales Supply. And then I also need you to go follow Northern Cody. I'm not going to get into it because it's not really my business. But we're all kind of working together to put the information out there. Are going to be raffling off a Lowrider S. It's built. It's fucking badass. It's sexy. It's also posted on my Instagram. So go check that out.
Well, I already follow all of you. Can I have the bike?
You can just have the bike, actually. So fuck the raffle. Dave's just going to buy all of the tickets because he follows all of us already. He beats you to the punch. But yeah, I think the raffle tickets aren't going to be fucking terribly expensive, you know, because we're all fucking bikers. We're all broke unless you're married to Dave's wife who keeps him fed and happy.
What's Northern what?
Northern Cody with a K.
Bro, my okay. Boo just got her yearly bonus today going shopping.
Fuck yeah, dude. Hey, I wear a size 20.
Tell him he's got to do a post. Tell Northern Cody he has to post at least one thing. If it's the one I'm looking at.
I'll send it to you. And then I'll make sure that I tag that in the comments when we're done. But yeah, I just wanted to put that out there. Again, Jaden, I know you guys are going to continue on the conversation, but I got to go make dinner for the babies. But thank you so much for coming on, man. It was a blast fucking hanging with you here. And then hopefully I'll see you at Mama Tried next year.
Yeah, absolutely.
Fuck yeah, dude. All right. Well, y'all have a wonderful evening and we'll talk to you soon.
Hey, also, when you turned around, do you have Merle Haggard on your shirt?
Oh, yeah. This is
how the fuck? What? I want one of those.
So this is our good buddy Corey at XXX. Three X's, four, five X's. Five X's at land. But
yeah,
this is what... When I listen to Haggard, so do my neighbors.
What the fuck? I didn't know that. I mean, so I've seen the site and shit like that, and the stickers are all over fucking
The stickers. Fuel Cafe. He does really good. I really enjoy his content. He does. He mixes a lot of like what I call prime country, like mid to late '80s and '90s country.
In. Yeah,
it's like the stuff I grew up on. So
absolutely.
Not only that, but he never puts his face on the internet, but you know, you can meet him at a show or anything like that. And he's one of the coolest dudes out there. He'll have a beer with you at 9 a.m. and solid fucking dude.
Dude, if it's not 9 a.m., if it's not day drinking and fucking sad country, like, I don't even want to get up.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, Fandango. Fuck, we shut down the booth at one point to go watch the drag races and just – he's a good dude. Yeah, man, I hope this didn't come off as I'm anti-club. I just feel like I'm
– No. I think, though, that – like I said, the first thing
– But I do understand and I totally get their importance, their needs for some dudes, as far as, especially, you know, population wise. But
I think, like I told you, like the very first time I ever heard you on a podcast was, and I'm not saying
I probably used to lean into that a little more than I do,
but it was a different point of view. And I think, like, no matter what you love, and I think politics are a great example of that shit. No matter what you love or who your favorite team is or any shit like that, you should be open to hearing something that's different than you or than what you think, because how the fuck are you going to learn anything? Like, you can think you're right at the end of the day, but at least listen to some other shit. Like, yeah, my mom is Hispanic, right? So I grew up in a fucking religious household, like church on Wednesdays, Sunday, twice on Sundays, all this shit. And it was just something that didn't, as I got older, it just didn't vibe with me. There was just different things that I was like, dude, I don't really believe. I'm not a religious guy. But I remember, like, when I had kids, I would make them go to Sunday school. And it's like, why? It's fucking pointless. And okay, I wanted them to have a foundation of knowledge to be like, look, this is what this side thinks. This is kind of what I believe. As they get older, at least know the stories. Like, if you can't tell me the story of Noah or who Abraham was or this shit, then how can you tell me you don't believe? Like, I want you to at least have my personal opinion. I want you to have a foundation of what you don't believe. I want you to at least have some knowledge in it. Like, I don't like Republicans because. I don't like Democrats because. I don't like fucking seafood because. At least understand a little bit about it and be a little bit educated on it so you can have a better point of view on why you don't like something.
Yeah.
Just and that's what you brought. I think, anyway, that's how I took it and what you brought for clubs or for a different point of view.
Yeah, because at some point it does feel like straight indoctrination on some of the club stuff. And it's just – it was one of the things where, you know, I felt like we kind of – did we find a cheat code? You know, Jason's in a club, and it was all of a sudden like, wait, did we – and I feel like we kind of did, you know. Like Ken said, this is – you know, it's kind of the exception. We're not – you're not going to find a group as, you know, as deep and whatever in every town. It's just not, but – if you can find three dudes, you're still winning the, like, if you know, if you can find one dude that will ride across the country with you multiple years, that you can all of a sudden go, are we about to ride all 48 states together? And we didn't even set out to do it, but now we're close enough that fuck it, we're just going to do it because we're not going to not do it. And they say, yeah, you've won the lottery. It doesn't have to be 8-9 dudes. Like, you know, like we have, if you find one person that does it, you're winning. You're fucking winning at life, because you never know. And that's the thing is, I'm not here to condemn anybody that moves on. If bikes are a part of your life for a part of your life, and then you move on and you become boat guy or whatever, that's fine. I'm not hating you. We're not gonna fuck. You know what I mean? We're not gonna fuck around like we did on bikes together. But I'm not mad at you. I wish you all the best. And I hope that point that you were on bikes, I hope it was the best shit you've ever had. You know, I hope that's
okay. And what I like about you guys too, and other people that are doing it, like you guys, you don't feel the need, and I hope you never fucking do, to put a patch on. Like, you know, guys, they get this great friend group and they get this great vibe and they have a great thing going. And to me, they ruin it by putting a fucking, by trying to create a new thing and putting a patch on. If you really want the club life, go join something that's already established. If you just want to have a great group of friends, don't fuck it up with a patch.
Did you know that we got a patch at the very beginning, but it was like a front patch? So our buddy James, who's like the biggest, probably the smartest of all of us and the biggest heart of all of us, the bike night started at Anvil, and there were at the Anvil pub. And there was I was even around when the inside joke came up. But somebody, you know, making fun of themselves, like a self-deprecating thing, somebody said, you know, we're like the Anvil 8, is in kind of like a play on the Sons of Anarchy. What is it?
The original nine. Yeah.
The first nine or whatever it was, or the Anvil Eight. So it was same thing, like, you know, just a joke that kind of turned into a running joke. Well, James got these real cool patches made, and it was an anvil with the letter eight on it, and it was like high quality. And I don't remember how many he got at the beginning, but he handed them out to everybody that was there, you know, the first couple bike nights. And then after that, they kind of started handing them out as they real unofficial, like, what, you know, fly by the seat of our pants. And I think I got one after the week after I body slammed that dude in Deep Ellum. I think I got mine. And it was like a badge of honor. It's one of those things, like, you know, you talk about really feeling, and it wasn't an exclusionary thing, like, oh, we're not fucking with you because you don't, but it was just like, I am one of the fucking dudes now, you know. And I don't know if everybody that has one, how much they still ride. I'd have to really go back through the roster, but it just, I don't know, it kind of, it played itself out to the point where some dudes never put them on. James still rocks his. Like I said, it's a real classy. It doesn't look, it's not a backpack.
Well, I think, you know, there's a difference between putting a fucking back patch, a bottom rocker, your MC cube and all that shit together versus, you know, plenty of dudes have memorial patches. They have ride patches and stuff like that. Like, that's totally different. But you know, how many dudes, they get something good, they get a group of friends together, and all of a sudden they've got a fucking, I don't know how old are you, but like when I was in school.
38.
So we used to have these things.
How old are you?
I'm 37.
Okay, boom. So
we used to have these things in school. You could print off, I don't know if I was in like first grade, second grade, but you could print these long ass banners of like clip art.
Oh, yeah.
And that's what their fucking back patches look like.
Did you graduate in 03 or 02?
What's that?
Did you graduate in 03 or 02?
03.
I was 02. Yeah, I just had my 20th reunion in March.
So, you know, I think there's a difference between an Anvil 8 patch that's like for the guys and you wear it in the front or you put it wherever versus the dudes that need a fucking, they need a goofy ass back patch and a bottom rocker and all and an MC cube. And don't get me wrong, you certainly can create new clubs. There's a time and a place to create new clubs, but the majority of the guys creating new clubs, they're just fucking lazy and they should just go join something that's already established or stay independent. You know, it like you said, have that friend group and don't muddle it. Don't muck it up.
Don't alienate anybody. You know,
now you've got to write bylaws. You've got to go through the process of getting respect from the established MC community. You've got to start charging guys money. You've got to start paying attention to who's riding and who's not, who's participating, what's an acceptable level of participation, you know, all this stuff.
All the stuff that, frankly, I've never wanted to deal with. And like I said, I think it was just one of those kind of got in our feelings kind of quick and, you know, the sweetest, you know, the best intention kind of thing. And I don't think there was never any talk about, oh, we're actually going club. It was just something. It was meant as an inclusionary thing for the dude, you know, the ones that were the inside group that kind of started. It meant for that. It never meant to exclude anybody. But then it kind of turned into a, and then, like I said, it just ran its course. But you know, like I said, even our friend group, even it had a little dabble in it where, you know, that whole – because there is an allure to it. And, dude, I'm not going to lie to you. When they started passing them out, I didn't get one. There was something about, I want one. You know what I mean? Like, I'm drinking with these dudes. I'm riding with these dudes on the weekends. I'm coming up here. Like, I want one. You know, where's mine kind of thing. And then once you get one, you realize it's – you get it, and then all of a sudden it's not – and luckily, that was just, like I said, almost a novelty kind of thing with no disrespect. It wasn't really, you know, a back patch, a bottom rocker, all that good stuff. But I could also see how you're so looking forward to that. You get it, and then all of a sudden there's a little bit of a natural letdown. Okay, well, now I've got it. Now what? The seas aren't quite parting like I thought they would. And
Life
is still the fucking same. I just have some different shit on my back and – so I don't know, but we dabbled in that, and ultimately it ended up turning, like I said, just into the friend thing. And as far as the clicking up and all that stuff, it just happens naturally. Nobody's outside.
So speaking of the friend thing, you've got a fuck, marry, kill. Jace, Kyle, and we'll go France. Who's getting what?
fuck, marry, kill the three of them. Oh, what a fucking heartbreak. Right. This is like that Sons of Anarchy episode where they're in jail. And he tells him, he's like, "What? One of you goes in the hole, like, yeah, whatever, gonna fight the three big dudes."
I really thought Opie was gonna win that. I was disappointed.
Oh no, I thought. I think everybody, right? Didn't you think
the curly headed dude was going in? I thought the curly headed dude was going in. Tim. All right, you had a fuck, marry, kill. Who is it?
Oh, Jace, Kyle, and Franz. I'm so sorry, Franz. I'm probably gonna marry Jace because he's probably the overall most successful. I'm probably gonna fuck Kyle because he's got a hog, and I guess that means I gotta kill Franz. I'm sorry, brother. That's literally the worst. Like, I ran through, I was like, man, what are we gonna talk about? Big trips, or I was just trying to, like I said, try to do my homework. Listen to a couple of y'all's podcasts. I never thought I'd get a marry, kill, fuck. Never thought I'd be hit with that.
So I think somebody brought it up to us and they asked us, like, you know, like, out of all the guys, you know, they picked three guys from Four for the Road, and they're like, you know, which one would you marry, fucking kill? And like, Jesus. Like, I never thought of that.
Yeah,
I'm pretty sure all of us picked Ken to fuck, though. We're all picking down Ken.
He does have a little bit of a boy band look to him.
Right? So you've done now, you know, like the large group rides, and then you did kind of a more intimate ride with Jace, where it was just the two of you, right?
Yeah. So we did our big ride, which each year, the last 4 years, we've done, I guess, 4 years, or was this the third? But we do a big ride. Like I said, it's pretty much the eight dudes. There's been maybe one or two. I know the year we went to Sturgis, we had a couple other dudes in Fort Worth that popped on. But essentially, it started off as, let's go knock out a corner of the country kind of thing. And the first year, it was kind of like the Southwest. They did Arizona, Utah. They made it up to Northern Cali. It was basically doing the PCH all the way down the coast. We were setting them up around an event. So the event was Born Free at the end of whatever fucking month it was. I think June. We did it the second half of June. So they took the long way, New Mexico, Utah, Nevada, hit Northern Cali, and then came all the way down and then kind of zigzag, hit Colorado on the way back home. So that year, Kyle just bought a brand new Road Glide, and he got hit by a street, or maybe he hit a street bike, and I still had my first street bob, but I got hit by a street bike. So both of our bikes were down. We'd already taken the time off. Everything was reserved. We had the money. We didn't have bikes. Kyle's on a knee scooter, and we still kind of wanted to make the trip. So the way the dude set it up was in LA when they came to Born Free, there was 3 days that they were posting there. So Kyle and I flew out. We Airbnb'd a bungalow, I don't know, 6 blocks from where they were staying. We hung out with the dudes at the Airbnb for a couple nights, partied, went to Born Free. They rode. We drove with a buddy of Kyle's. And then we stayed another night and did like comedy shows and just basically had a good time. That was the first trip, so we technically didn't ride. That's the one. If you've ever watched the podcast, there's all the dudes against like the Salt Lake. That we should have been on that one. We're not on that one. Everyone since then, Kyle and I have been on, which the next year was Sturgis, the one I did the tattoo from earlier.
Yeah.
After that, it was Yellowstone, Grand Tetons, Beartooth Pass, so Montana. Kind of not all the way Pacific Northwest, but like – Sturgis and like that that area, Colorado. We did that. Last year we went to East Coast. We went all the way up to Maine. We hit everything east of Tennessee with the exception of West Virginia and South Carolina, just the way it worked. So I think right now we're sitting at 38 total states, this whole group between us. We've got, you know, just a 10 more continental, which we plan. It's all Midwest shit, all stuff we're getting done next summer.
And you've got to do, you got to do Lake Superior. And I don't know if you have a passport or if you're allowed in. So Canada is
doing it. So whatever, Bend Over Betty got affectionately nicknamed. We filled out my passport thing today. Like it, mine expired in 2019. So basically I'm in the process of getting it renewed right now. So I will have it by the summer for sure.
And you can go. So like I've gone from Wisconsin and then you go into the Northern, they call it the UP, the Upper Peninsula of Michigan. And then you can go into Canada right there. And then you can come all the way around Lake Superior and like come back on the Minnesota side, back through Wisconsin for me. And it's an amazing ride. I mean, I love the Lake Superior area. It's nothing. It's nothingness. Like there's not a big town. Like it's just all small. It's like, you've been to the East Coast. It's like a smaller version of like what the towns on the coast and like Massachusetts look like, where they're fishing villages and yeah. they sprouted up around fishing villages and shit like that. That's what Lake Superior is like. But it's just, I like that. Like I'm not a city guy. I like riding through nothing. And so that's my fucking, that's my jam. Like Beartooth Pass. I loved Beartooth Pass. Oh,
so sick, dude. So sick. And that's kind of the beauty of the group we have is everywhere we go, we don't have, you know, we can go to Nashville and wild the fuck out, right? Have a great time. We can also be in Gold Beach, Oregon with nobody and make our own fucking party. You know what I mean? Whether it's a case of beer at the campsite, whether it's we find the one bar in town that's open, we just have that, like I said, between us, Cody, Fran, some of the dudes we have in our group that just have such a positive vibe about them anyways. We can roll into any no-name town and any no-name bar, and they generally like us. You know what I mean? We come in trouble. They like us. We're friendly. And I just can't – I mean, we could – we're – so kind of to what Ken was saying as far as the group and the traveling thing, I did want to say that. Like, we're – this inner group that I keep talking about, we're now 4 years in traveling, like doing big travels. And you talk about – you know, you really learn who a person is and stuff like that. Try being on the road with them for 2 weeks, 3 weeks, you know, at a time. In addition, we spend as much time as we can off of those big trips, but that's 4 years, the money, the consistency of every year we're doing it. I mean, there's dudes in that group that give up family vacations to do this trip, that this is a priority. And it's just, we all realize how lucky we are to be able to have the group. We realize how lucky we are to have this group and how many people would kill to be in the situation. We try not to let it, you know, take it for granted. And
so the big trips and then like the trip you did just like kind of you and Jace.
Oh yes.
Are you more a fan of that big group or do you like that smaller group?
So the time with Jace, man, was awesome. I wouldn't change anything about it. There is something about, there was a sadness leaving the dudes in downtown Boise, Idaho, where they went one way and we went the other.
Yeah.
There was a sadness about it, but I doubled down. I was happy to be with Jace. Cause like I said, at that point, the trip went from pure vacation to a little bit more working mode. And obviously it was, you know, it's his podcast. It's his name on everything. So it was way more work for him. But I was still, you know, there in a supporting role. So at some point I was, you know, if you're working, I'm kind of working too. And that kind of thing. It was different, but man, fun. It kind of cemented the fact that I want to be in the industry as far as like being at Born Free and just, I kind of worked it. I worked a little thing with Simpson. It was kind of unofficial. It'll be official Born Free Texas, like kind of a thing of a Great Value. And if there's like a cheaper version of Great Value, which is like the dumb version, like that version of Dump Truck, but for Simpson, like your hype man, your let's ambassador of fun kind of thing. We did a little throw together thing for the kids on Saturday, and it's going to be a little bit more official for Born Free Texas. But man, just that, it made me realize I want to do this. And if working these things means, okay, I just have to hang out from partying as hard right now with the boys, and I get, you know, but while I've got the shirt on, while I've got this Simpson, whatever brand it is, that shirt on, I'm working, baby. I'm here. I'm your number one asset. And guess what? At some point, the work day ends and the party begins. And I don't want to say, all right, let's put it this way. So as a guy that's always been in the corporate world that works a job, was good at, but didn't like, and just kind of went through the motions. I saved my time for these, for all this motorcycle stuff on the end. I'm tired of doing that, because with that, that's cool if you're single, but if you have a relationship and somebody else that wants some of that personal time, well, that's a hard sell, right? All of a sudden you're really digging into personal stuff. I want my work to be these events, the stuff that I wanted. I want that to be work too. So that way, all of a sudden, if I have to, does that make sense?
Yeah. I'm very fortunate. I've always said on different podcasts, I'm very fortunate in the job that I landed. I don't make good money. No, okay. I always have to preface that with the fact that my wife makes outstanding money, but I've been able to pass up promotions and opportunities, and people are like, oh, it must be nice to travel all the time. Well, I set my life up that I'm not going
to
have
it. It must be nice to be a miserable fuck. That's what you tell them. That's what you tell those cocksuckers.
You know, they might have
if a they nicer can't car than I did. Fuck off, dude.
They might have a nicer car. They might have a nicer house. I don't know.
They're but fucking miserable, and somebody's probably fucking their wife. That dude's a cuckold.
But I knew that I needed to make this amount of money to cover bills. I need to make this amount of money for this. I need for my bike. And then, you know what? I picked a job where I kind of make my own schedule. As long as my work is on time and my work is good, I get a lot of freedom of movement, and that allows me to do a lot of traveling. Well, I knew what education I had to get that job. I knew what shit I had to do. I know how to do my job really well so that I can work I can work for how many ever hours a day previously before I'm going to go on a trip to have more free time when I go on this trip. Yeah. Like, that's a conscious choice. It's like you said, to set your life up so you can travel more. If that's what you want to do, if you want to make more money, make more money. And there's guys that have the best of both worlds. They make 10 times what I make and they can travel.
Yeah. But fuck, man. Sorry. I'm focused on the must be nice guy. Cause those are the fucking cops. That don't do anything. They don't do anything but sit back and talk shit. Oh, must be nice. Oh, I hate those fucking dudes. Like I said, I'm a positive guy, but there's also people that just, they need to have their fucking ass chewed out. Sometimes I feel like I'm the guy to do it.
So what's the is the Midwest the next trip?
The next trip. But as far as back to the – I don't think I gave that enough credit. Yeah, the staying on the trip – and to pull back the full curtain on that, if we have time, what are we at, 1:34?
Yeah, time. Good.
So I'm kind of living like a summer of love. Like this is a – I think you know – but I got laid off like at the end of April from my like full. I was a normal full time job. Like I said, the job I do in my sleep that I don't care about, I'm so good at. I got laid off late April, but it's in mortgage. Everybody knows where the market is now. It was just the tip of the spear for that kind of thing, and it ended up being so far, Dave. It's been the biggest blessing because I already had the time off. I was already scheduled off for the big trip. I would have made that no way. No matter what. But it allowed me to go the other 2 weeks, which I think will in the end be invaluable as far as what we did and the relationships made and the time had, the experiences had. How many people get to say, oh yeah, I was on a motorcycle for 28 days, in different parts of the country. I didn't have to go to work. Like that's almost insane. That's almost unheard of in these days. And that's Josh Kerpius. That's a documentary, 28 Days Under the Sun kind of
yeah,
shit.
Yeah, I love that one. Yeah.
That copper shit. And obviously, it wasn't that hard. We were on newer bikes. It was a fucking blast. But still, how many people – I wouldn't have been – I could work my whole life. And if it wasn't for this little string of events, I would have never been able to get – let's put it this way. Before late April, the thought of – being gone a whole month? No, bro. I can't do that, man. I'd probably lose my job. I picked up a security job, like part-time with a good buddy of ours, Cody Walker. He's in the big in the motorcycle scene at a bar in Deep Ellum, about a mile from my place. And I've been doing basically part-time work since then. And I've worked hard the last few years to get my bills to very minimum. So they are very minimum. And I've just been kind of living basically like a 23-year-old summer as far as like no full-time job, part-time it, doing as much bike stuff as I can.
Having a bunch of prison sex?
Dude, it hadn't all been roses. Like I said, the part of it came with getting out of a big, 4-year relationship. It that sucked. It wasn't fun, but it was one of those – it was amicable. It was mutual. The relationship was already going that way. It just, the Band-Aid needed to be ripped off. It was. But, yeah, life moves on, right? Life finds a way after that. So
and, life finds a way.
Yeah, it sucks, man. It's kind of sad, Dave, because I actually made a call Tuesday about, okay, full-time gigs again and starting, you know, sooner or later I've got to start working days again. I can't keep this college kid lifestyle up forever. But, man, it's been one of the most turn a fucking negative into a positive. Actually, no, not one of the biggest turn a negative into a positive situation in my entire life. And I'm so glad that I didn't do the safe, normal thing of jump back on. Because that's the thing. I got laid off on a Tuesday. I could have had a job probably Thursday and just never really missed a beat. But yeah, the timing of it, where would I get a job and go, hey, I'm going to be – hire me full-time. I'm going to be here 3 weeks. And then I'm going to be gone the road 3 weeks. And I expect to come, you know what I mean? It was just a certain.
Well, and for people that are like, man, you know, like you said, that dude that's going to be like, oh, it must be nice to be on the road for 4 weeks. You know, Jaden said, like, I set myself up so that I could afford to do that. So I could make my bills. I could, what's that? Step right. I could make my nut.
Yeah.
Working part time. And that's, you know, there's things you probably sacrifice things.
Oh, yeah. There was a, you know, like I said, I'm not eating shrimp cocktail every day. You know, it's one of those things where all of a sudden you get the budget. You know, I've been laid off before where they just said, well, sorry. And there you go. This was like a severance package thing where I was like, oh, okay. And yeah, at that point, you just kind of look at your budget. What do I need? You focus on that kind of stuff. And yeah, it went full biker mode. And here I am. The road provides. That's a statement that sounds cliche, but it does happen. The road provides, and like I said, life finds a way to mix in a little Jurassic Park on you. But yeah, it's one of that. As far as a unsecure, like a kind of a, I'm happy, man. Best decision I've ever made, not to just jump right back in and take a breath. And then, like I said, just play the summer out. And here I am. And I've been able to do a bunch of fucking cool shit that we'll talk about in person over our next beer, 8 beers, but just a bunch of cool shit where I've had the best summer of my life, man. Honestly, you could probably chalk it up against any childhood. Like, that was the best summer of my life. I'm like, I don't know, man. You ever done one as an adult where you didn't have to work full time and you have a motorcycle? Pretty fucking sick, dude. Pretty fucking cool.
You ever done one where you had a motorcycle and money for drugs? Yeah, it's pretty cool.
Exactly. Like I said, work at a bar. I was, you know, that's as far as working in a bar. Part of the reason I did it was I never worked tables. I've never worked in the restaurant service industry, whatever you want to call it. So it was one of those things where like I said, I'm 38. I'm not getting older. At some point, I'm not going to ever be able to do it. So the job thing happened. I hung out for a week or two, and then I was bored. You know, I needed something to kind of pass the time. It's a little bit of cash coming in, and I hit up Cody, and I said, hey, man, you got a security spot? And he did, and sure enough, man, I'm like the favorite security guy. I don't think any of the other dudes are going to listen to this, so fuck them. Like I'm the first call if somebody calls in. Like I get the most hours. Like they love me. They've always told me they you know I do good at it because I bust my ass while I'm up there. But it's a part time job and I'm fucking loving it. Like I said, I'm having the summer of like a 23 year old. And the only sad part about it is that it has to end. I got to get back in the office and start doing auditing and just grown up adult boring shit. But man, I wouldn't trade the summer of 2022 for anything.
Well, I imagine it's got to be good material for the podcast, for the Queen Zone. I mean, the shit you have to see in a major metropolitan city at bar time in a place like Dallas has got to give you some good stories. I imagine it's every bar in Dallas looks like Gilly's.
Yeah, no, not the case, especially not the at. Let's put it this way. I've been thanked for letting somebody in because he said I'd never get let in because of the way I dress. I've been thanked for letting him in because I was the first dude that ever let him in. And then the same night, within like an hour and a half, I was called a racist, and this bar didn't let black people in, even though I let the dude in for the first time ever. And it's just one of those things. Yeah, it's a little bit of a hip hop club, so you see all kinds of things. But I've seen a chick get punched in the face. Okay, this is about to be a fight. You're moving in security mode to help break it up. And just as you're getting there, boom, boom, like you see it, the chick you're going to help gets two-pieced in the face. I've seen a handful of fights. I've been in a couple close. Oh, I almost got in a fight with a bum last night before the rain started. Yeah, it's wild, man. It's fun, but it also keeps me on my toes. As somebody that's been in an office in the safe, whatever office environment for the last, what did I say, 20 years since I graduated high school, so 18 years. It's wild, man. I love it. I don't want to do it. I don't want to be a 50-year-old security dude in the bar, but except for this summer, for what it is, gaining some experience, maybe a potential, because I plan on keep doing it. It's like a little side thing, because it could transition into a bartender thing. And you talk about if you can side hustle as a bartender and it doesn't affect the rest of your life, you're doing good. That's great, great side money. So
yeah, I don't doubt it.
Right now, man, I'm just having fun. The minute it interferes with real life or anything like that, it'll be the first to go. But I'm still.
Well, I'm looking forward to having fun with you in Milwaukee. If you are able to ride, if you guys do work it out, it's still a couple weeks away. But let me know. I'll meet you on the road and shit like that. My wife.
If you know Jetty at all, he's pretty persuasive. And he took some shit for trailering that bike. You know, they unveiled that big Money Pit 2.0 in Sturgis. They won all the awards and everything. He wants to ride it. Some of the dudes have busted his balls about trailering it up there. So he's pretty bound and determined to ride that motherfucker to Milwaukee. And if Jetty's going, as long as I can get Kyle on board, my fuck buddy or whatever from the whole area, then yeah, man, we'll probably fucking roll.
Yeah, dude, I'll meet you on the road. Like I said, my wife just got her bonus, so I got gas money now. But I appreciate you doing the podcast for us. I can't wait to see you in Milwaukee and have a little bit more time than just kind of like a fucking snowy night like Mama Tried was, and get a chance to show you more, especially because the hometown rally will be more about seeing the sights. Mama Tried is about the race and the motorcycle show and the party at House of Harley. You know, this time there's still the party at House, but there's more shit to see because you can go from spot to spot. There's more riding to do. So I'm excited to show you more of the city.
Hey, man, consider me your right-hand man on that. Like, I'm whatever you're down to do, let's fucking do it.
Absolutely. So, again, I appreciate you coming on this episode. I love the fuck out of it. And we'll see you soon.
Absolutely, my brother.
All right, dude. Take care.
Bye.